Working with others last Saturday. And before I get started, I'm going to say the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas which block me from your truth. God, help me carry your message today. Amen. All right, so I thought I would, I copied this from the Carry This Message by Joe McHugh. It's the introduction, and it's on how we pass on a special gift since we finished working with others. He's got another chapter there on sponsorship that we might do next week. It's really good stuff. Joe McHugh changed my life. I never met him. I actually never heard him do the Joe and Charlie, because the guy who does the Joe and Charlie that you listen to is his successor, but I've heard Joe's talks on XA speakers. He and Charlie carried the message of the big book starting in 1979, when the message was getting somewhat changed in, with all the treatment centers. And they kept the big book alive. And I thought I'd read some of this. It's good stuff. This was written in 2002. And it's probably changed some, but there's some good points in here. And in the first paragraph, it's the note from the editors. At the end of the first paragraph, Joe believed that we needed to return to our responsibilities as recovering people to help new people through the whole program from beginning to end. Isn't that what the deal is? And that's when they decided to write Carry This Message, which is about sponsorship, how you take someone through the 12 steps, and also, if you're the sponsee, how you go through the 12 steps. And there's an assignment for each step, and it's good, and we've covered a lot of that on the site. If you go to experiencethebigbook.org, go down to the tag at the bottom of the episode, you'll see Carry the Message, you push the button. And in this book, it says in the second paragraph, he leads us back to the original text. To review the program. And he writes, it's still true that alcoholism is a disease, that the only way to overcome the disease is a spiritual waking, and that a thorough working of the 12 steps will bring about this awakening and bring us to sobriety and serenity. I believe that. I believe half measures avail you nothing. The other thing I was thinking about is that it says in the big book, it's true for me, that I have a spiritual disease that only a spiritual experience will conquer. Does anybody believe that? So we have a whole, you can go to Washburn and get an addiction counseling degree, but we have a disease that only a spiritual experience will conquer. And that's gotten lost with all the treatments and all the things. And I'm not saying treatment's bad, I'm not saying what they do is bad, but it requires a spiritual experience. It's something that you can't learn, you have to experience it. And how do you get the spiritual experience? By letting go of everything that's not God and allowing God to reveal himself to you. Self-knowledge won't get you the spiritual experience. It just gets you more self-knowledge, but self-knowledge of what you need to let go of will allow God to work in your life. It says, how we can serve most effectively is the focus of this book, how we can pass on the principles. And it says, we must carry the message in the big book. And he did this for 30 years. And when I listened to them for the first time, I'd been going to meetings for 5 years. I'd even start a big book study where we read the book, but I didn't understand it. It's not the kind of book that you can easily read on your own. It has a certain illumination that requires study and usually work with others. And that's one of the reasons I started this meeting. And they have the 12 steps, which we've all heard of. Anybody heard of the 12 steps? And then it's where the topic is passing on a special gift. We've all been given a special gift. We said the other night that none of us should be alive today. when you think about it. Everybody who's come to this room has been given the grace of God to come here. They've been given that moment where they see that they need help. And some see it more than others. But if you've come here, then you have a gift. And then our job is what he's going to talk about, is how do we pass it on to you so you can do it and you can have the gift. It says each group has but one primary purpose, to carry his message to the alcoholic who still suffers. He writes, better to do one thing well than many badly. The life of our fellowship depends on this principle. And I like this, the ability of each AA to identify himself with and bring recovery to the newcomer is a gift from God. And when you do that, you get a gift from God and you're bringing a gift to the other person. We talked about that a lot. When you work with other people, you get a spiritual experience that you can't describe to someone who hasn't done it. Passing on this gift to others is our one aim. Sobriety can't be kept unless it is given away. Isn't that why we're here tonight? Because of today, because of what happened 35 years ago? And, you know, people can make comments about Bill W. and this and that, and he was just a human being. But God chose him in 1934 to have a powerful spiritual experience, like Saul on the Damascus Road. And Bill W. could not help but give away what he had gotten. And that carried through for years. And so we owe a lot to him, but it really came from God. He could not stop working with other alcoholics. And he says, once in a while we have to take a critical look at things, even the things we think are worthy and working well. Otherwise, we may look up and find them gone. Even as AA has grown, has lost some of its message, we need to return to our message, to our roots. I think one of the things that I've noticed, I go to a lot of discussion meetings, it gets me out of the house during the day, and my wife likes it. And what you can go to a discussion meeting every day and not hear the message of the steps. It's not that they're good or bad. I had one meeting where they brag about they do a step a month. Well, listening to four meetings a month is not going to give you the four step. It's good that people are aware of it. The only way the message can be carried is through the big book. It is the textbook, right? It has the specific directions on recovery of what they did. And they're going to describe exactly what they did and what they suggest you do. And if you do it, tell us if it works. That's all AA says. They don't care if you read the big book. It's your disease. But if you have no other plan, try the plan in the book. Now, to do the plan in the book, you have to know what it means. That's where you need help. That's where you need a sponsor. That's where you need to go to meetings where people are actually studying the book so you know what the directions are. I heard somebody say, if you do everything into action and how it works and you keep doing them, you'll never drink or use again. That's true. Because then you're thoroughly following the path. Now, it doesn't mean you can read it and it's going to work. You have to do it, and you have to keep doing it. It says meetings have changed, and sponsorship has also changed and may have lost some of its effectiveness. And I'm going to ask a question, and we'll get back to it. How do you choose a sponsor? AA is not growing fast as it once did. We have a lot of people come to meetings, but we have very few who actually stay and celebrate a year. Yes, page one. Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy's great. He's my hero. He did something last night that I'm very proud of him. He helped somebody and got him to the hospital. And Jimmy, I love you, brother. That was great. It says he thinks it's because we have less AA in our meetings. The message is supposed to be delivered in meetings. And some people say we have to carry it to the treatment center, but we need to carry it to the meetings. I know two people who were telling me how they go to Vallejo or one of the treatment centers and they carry the message. But they're proud that they've never really worked the steps out of the book. And so I didn't know what to say. I had another guy come up to me. He was going to do the four step in the institution. I said, well, you know, I have a handout on the resentment inventory and the book. And he says, no, we're going to listen to Father Martin. I said, well, Father Martin's good, but you might want to go through the steps in the book. Yes, I did.
Column one.
Yeah, column one. And I got over it. I'm just telling you the facts, Mark. Thank you for pointing out my character defects. All right, good.
I keep an eye out for judgmentalism because I'm very judgmental.
Yeah, well, it wasn't judgmental. It was an observation. There's a difference. Because that's what we're talking about today. What is the message that's being carried? And I don't have an opinion whether it's good or bad. I just told you the facts. It says the growth of the treatment center movement in the late 60s and 70s, it helped a lot of people, but it changed AA. And I remember when I first went to treatment in the 80s, it was a whole different thing. They couldn't get the people in and out fast enough. They were making so much money. Yeah, they got 30 days, and I was told I had to find God, and I didn't understand the thing. And I went 14 or 15 years not working the steps and not going to many meetings. And then guess what? Alcohol became a good idea when my life was a complete mess in 2001. But I got back in 2002 and my life's changed. It says AA has no direct connection with treatment centers. They've certainly affected the program. It says, you know, the alcoholic is put in a box by working steps one and two. Being in this box forces him or her to begin the program of recovery. And we have to understand exactly what the box we're in. Can we go on to an alcoholic death or live a spiritual life? Those are the only two alternatives we have. I find that when I meet somebody, they've been in treatment, and I like to ask them, they tell me they're an alcoholic or addict, and I ask them, what makes you an alcoholic? And very few of them have read doctor's opinion, understand about the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, the spiritual illness that we have so we can't live sober. I ask them, well, when does alcoholism occur? And, you know, it's not after you drink. It's when you're sober. You can't live sober without your mind telling you need a drink because you're running the world and you don't like the way things are. And then that your life is unmanageable and you made it unmanageable. And then having put yourself in that box, you understand you're powerless. It's good to have them tell you about their last drink when they were determined that they would never drink again. And then I have them read page 24. At certain times, there's no defense against the first drink. And then I have them read the foreword to the first edition, which tells us that they have a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. And these are the specific directions. And then page 20 says, if you want to get over this, what do you have to do next? It says that's the purpose of the book. And then I have them read page 44 and 45. Which this lack of power is our dilemma. We must have a power to live. It has to be God. Newcomers have been exposed to a lot of therapies, transactional analysis, that's the second full paragraph, reality therapy. Many others designed to treat other problems. I think it's good to know your triggers, but knowing your triggers, I don't think is a defense against real alcoholism. Because right before you drink, your mind can't tell you there's anything wrong with it. I'm on page two, the middle of the page. And then I've heard people do four steps in the treatment center, and that's good. They do a lot of work, but I said, well, what's the exact nature of your wrongs? How do you get free of fear? What's the prayer for fear? How do you get free of anger? How did you harm people? What was your sane sex ideal? You see, there's certain things you learn specifically when you go through the book that you use all the time the rest of your life. He talks about the last page, they went to the person's home. We don't tend to do that anymore. Let's go to page three. It says when they come from the treatment centers, they've been sober for 30 days, and some have worked the program, some don't. And so it's good to find out what they've learned and what their experience has been, and then start with the book. It says many sponsors in AA today, in that first full paragraph, have never had the experience of working the steps with a sponsory or them working the steps out of the book. That's not good or bad, but remember, you can't give away what you don't have. It's not a social relationship. It's a relationship of going down the path. Remember, walking hand in hand down the path of spiritual progress with the new man and showing them exactly what you did, and then see if they want to do it. The next one, they talk about wet drunks. And in the early days, people would come to meetings drunk. That wasn't unusual. They had some rules where if you had alcohol in your breath, you couldn't come to the A meeting. This was some groups. And it says, the bottom of that page 3, it says, the purpose of this book is to provide a guide to the whole of sponsorship based directly on the big book. And when Curtis died and God told me to do a meeting like this, it was so that people would at least be able to understand the directions in the book and maybe do them. And I had to, he gave me a lot of help and a good mind so that I was able to be able to formulate it, and over time have gotten, I think, pretty experienced at doing this. So how you go through the book. And then when we recorded, Matt wanted me to record, Matt B. and Jenny, who was from Texas, and we couldn't figure out how to do it. And then Lal showed me the recorder on my phone, which had been there for several years. And they had bought recorders. And then Lal said, well, he can make a site on WordPress. And then Chris W. Had been in corporations, done websites, and then they did the website. And I hope there's somebody listening today somewhere that this will help. Why not? You know, it can't hurt. You don't like it, don't listen. And you know, we have the internet now, and that's been very helpful. Because when I really wanted to start studying so I could do these meetings and learning, I listened to all these workshops on the internet. And now if you really want to know how to work the steps in the book, it's taught so many ways. There are XA speakers, that whole first page has all these speakers and meetings and steps, and people talk about how they work the steps. And if you want it, you can find it. I do think, and this is what my first sponsor told me, is if people really want it, God will send them people to help them. They'll find it. And so everybody who comes here, somebody will make an impression. You'll be able to find what you're seeking if you're seeking God, if you really seek it. And we read from, Jimmy read from Dr. Bob's Nightmare, and he says, if you go about it with half the zeal that you went to get the next drink, you're going to make it. And he does say, Dr. Bob, that we hope you don't have any intellectual pride which keeps you from accepting what's in this book. And he also makes the point, your Heavenly Father will never let you down. They talk about here, we've lost some of the skills on page 4. Now, treatment centers have really gone way down now. And so we have more people come to AA who haven't been to treatment now. And so we have to get back to learning how to take people right through the beginning, first and second step. The second step isn't as simple, do you believe? We talked about that. We looked at We Agnostic. The second step is a total change in your direction, away from yourself to God, understanding that only God can relieve you of this. And you believe He can. It doesn't mean that you have knowledge of God yet, but you believe from your hopeless situation, 100% 80-degree turn towards God. That has to be it. From that point, then you make the decision that God's going to be your director and you're going to seek Him. If you don't have that 180 degree turn, whatever degrees you have less, you're still holding on the self. If you only have a 90 degree turn, your 90 degree that you still got has to be a complete change in direction of your thinking, and that's not easy. It says, Bill W. emphasized, we are alcohol and could not manage our own lives. Anybody agree with that?
Yes.
True? No? Nobody does? No human power could relieve their alcoholism. That's no human power. And they make the point that human power is the fellowship, is the fellowship is human power. The fellowship is designed to bring you to the spiritual power. And together, and I believe today God's right here, and we're all seeking God right in this room right now. And he's directing us towards him. God couldn't would if he were sought. That's become a chant now. It's a good chant, but we forget the if. We have to seek him. And it has to be seeking with the desperation of a drowning man. We have to understand that we have to seek God with the desperation when we're drowning. Anybody get in an undertow at the beach? I did when I was a kid. It's not a pleasant experience. I didn't run in the water and say, I want to do that again. You know, but I would have grabbed anything. And then, of course, and it says, and there's the solution, what is the flimsy reed that we grab when we're drowning becomes the hand of God. And isn't that what we need to start with? We have to grab that reed, and then as you work the steps, that reed becomes the hand of God. You trust it, so you seek it. He talks here about people doing steps one a year. I had a guy at the meeting, it was years ago, I think Brian was at it, the Tuesday night, where a guy would do a step a year, and his sponsor died before he got to step four. So, and then a step a month, and this and that. And I've heard people say that their sponsee isn't ready to work steps three or four yet. Well, if you're dying of alcoholism and the disease occurs when you're sober, I'm always worried that we're going too slow. I don't think you can go too slow. I had one guy tell me he was doing the program too fast. This was a few weeks ago. And he had to slow it down. Now, of course, he'd relapsed five times in the last 30 days, but he was too fast. He had to slow it down. I said, well, let me know how that works for you and come back. We love you. And here he talks about, and we've talked about this before, the dynamic momentum of working the steps. He talks about it's like a line of dominoes. And I see that the problem is that we start the dominoes, but we stop them. Somehow we put a piece of cardboard between like two and three or three or four. You know, it's belief, willingness, belief, decision, action, faith. Willingness, step one, believe in step two, decide in step three, the actions of four through nine, and then we have true faith and trust in God. And if you slow it down, you lose the momentum. And it says, if you take the step on a schedule, you lose the momentum and the energy. He talks about in the next paragraph how, you know, they had a meeting. New people had the opportunity to get the program. The old people had the opportunity to work with the new people. Remember the handout on old members and new members? And the old member is somebody who's worked the steps. The new member is the new guy. And then they take them to believe. Willingness, belief, action, pick up the kit of spiritual tools, and then they become an old member. We worship years of sobriety, but what we should really want is old members who've done the deal who are working with new members. And it doesn't matter how long you've been an old member, if you're doing it, you're doing the deal. So 5 years of sobriety versus 1 year of doing the deal, who knows which is better, which is more helpful to the person and to others. Tradition 5 at page 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message the alcoholic still suffers. Notice it's to carry the message to the alcoholic. He says if we refocused on the big book, I think we would have a lot more recovery. And they talk about the 75% success rate. I don't know if any of that's true. In my work, I had to read a lot of studies in cancer and percentages, and it really depends what the denominator and the numerator are. But if you think that there are 30 million alcoholics in the United States, they're not a lot that have a year of sobriety in AA, if 10% of the population. And so it's a small percentage. But I believe if you really want it, you'll get it. There's no barrier between you and God. It says it's a broad highway. Remember, all exclusive, not exclusive, all inclusive, open to all who seek him. God can and will if he were sought. Anybody believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He talks about, in the next paragraph, many groups are not using the big book as they once did. I've been to a lot of meetings where there's not even a big book in the room. And everything's off the cards. And somebody made the point that if you're new, you think that the how it works comes off of a card. You don't even know that. That's why I tell everybody, open the book here. If we're going to read it, we need to know where it is. And we have to understand it's page 58. There's a lot of work that goes before you're ready to get to how it works. And he says, what we have to say to people who go on the treatment, this is the AA message. Here's our message. Treatment centers may be helpful to you. And he says, if you have an hour for meeting, every bit of time that you use for other things, other subjects, pushes out the steps. I begin to groups where after they read the preamble, you didn't hear another word about AA. I think a lot of people can come to the meetings and think that the meditation book is the program, because they read out of the meditation book. It's easy, and that's not good or bad, but I don't know why we didn't read out of the book. Why each group doesn't start with page one and each week read a few more pages. I suggested that years ago when we were down in the other room, and they wanted to throw me out. Probably for other reasons, but it was like, you're not going to, that's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous idea, so it's not done. But you might think, if you have a discussion group, why don't you start with page one of the big book and read three pages every week? And have somebody prepare to, when you read the three pages, to be able to talk a little bit about what you're reading. Often entire meeting will center around people discussing their problems. Has that ever happened? In fact, I hear people say, my sponsor sent me here so I could talk about my problems. And I'm thinking, great, the sponsor's not here, I gotta listen to it. Because there's nothing wrong with having problems, but we wanna talk about the solution to the problem. And if somebody has a problem, somebody needs to say, you know, you need to talk to your sponsor about that, but how have the people in the group handled their anger or their fear? How have they dealt with that? And it usually turns out everybody's giving them advice, and it can really degenerate. But that's not good or bad, it's just the way it is. It says we have step that answers any problems we have. And we want to share our experience. Remember, it says what you're supposed to share at the end of There's a Solution is how you established your relationship with God. How did you do that? And so then the other person will know how you did it. And then think about it today. Could you describe how you established your relationship with God? Not belief, but a relationship, a trust. And how that's worked in your life, how that's changed you. Page 7. Is this helpful?
Yeah.
It's good stuff. It says we're fighting a tide of other information, other approaches. Basically, the only AA plan is the big book plan. If you understand the playbook, you realize that it's simple and that nothing is more effective. And then we have these rules. Anybody heard about AA rules? You know, somebody told me, I had the book Drop the Rock, and the person said to me, well, I know you mean well, Michael, but, you know, that's not AA approved. So I said, okay, there are 12 people in New York who sit around, decide what we can read and not. And she says, yes. And that's how what we read at the meetings. And I said, well, I'm reading Drop the Rock. And you might want to think about dropping the rock. I'm being silly. But we have rules. We can't have legalism in AA. we have to be open-minded. Remember, honest, open-minded, and willing. And we have to be, as Mark said, not judgmental, but to be able to be helpful all the time. And so this idea about, that was the first thought I wrote, was AA-approved literature when I started the site, because it's so misunderstood. What did they study before the book in 1939? The Bible. They studied the Bible. At the first meeting, Dr. Bob put his feet up and read Sermon on the Mount. So we should, and we should not be close-minded to anything that's helpful to us. In fact, isn't that what an old idea is? Something that you don't think will help you. And I like to, whenever I have an old idea now, I like to act on it because it's always good. But sometimes I fight a little bit. Anybody do that? You know, I fight, but now I really look forward to my old ideas because it's usually things that are so good for me. I don't know if I should tell this story. But
oh, come on.
We need to judge.
Be real.
Well, you know, stop. Oh, I better stop soon. All right, I'll end with this and we'll pick up next week because it keeps me in line. But, you know, I know the big book and I love God and I pray and I believe in Jesus and all of this and the Holy Spirit and work the steps. And I had read some of the Bible, but Gary knows this. And so I'd listen to all the AA speakers and everything, and I was kind of tired of it every morning when I go down on the bike. And something said to me, well, why don't you study the Bible? I said, yeah, you know, I could learn the Bible and listen to the Bible. And I started that almost 3 years ago, and I do 90 minutes a day. And it's amazing how that has transformed my understanding of the program. It's so, everything we have is scripture. I was listening to a man today, I'll end with this, he was talking about Galatians, and he was saying one of the things that Paul warns us about is worshiping idols. And he says everybody in the church right now is worshiping 100%, and it's usually themselves. And we do that, don't we? We think about ourselves all the time. And so we try to think, well, I'm doing better than this one, but we all have that self-centeredness, and that's something we have to fight all the time. So I went a little long, forgive me. And can you bring the handout? You want to finish this next week?
Yeah.
And then I'll bring the next one. All right.